Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Bill Halal is with us, ladies and gentlemen. William E. Halal, as the name is on his book, his outstanding new book, Technology's Promise. Bill is a longtime friend of mine. He and I had the fortune to serve on an advisory board with him, an international advisory board with him for a few years, a while back, and met him then and got to know him and found him to be one of the smartest guys I've ever known. He's basically a rocket scientist, ladies and gentlemen, but he's also a professor emeritus of science and technology at George Washington University. He co-founded the Institute for Knowledge and Innovation. He's the president of TechCast LLC, which is an outstanding website. And the guy just keeps cranking out more and more important works, and he's our good friend. Bill Halal, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you back. And, Bill, recently you had an outstanding piece in the Washington Post. In fact, I guess it was this Sunday. Congratulations on that. This is beautiful. And if you got Sunday's Washington Post, I'm sure you saw it. It's very colorful, but very insightful. The things that you covered in your piece.
Thank you, Jim.
So talk to us a little bit about it. What gave rise? The title of it is The Next Things. And
well,
I love that. Tell us what were you thinking when you put this together?
I just picked out the most interesting and significant forecasts out of the 70 or so that we cover. We cover about 70 fields on the TechCast site, which is www.techcast.org, and I picked out the ones that are most interesting. I think they're absolutely fascinating. They convey the enormity of the technology revolution that is rolling on right now. It's going to change our lives in 10 years.
I wrote a piece this week in my blog. I posted a piece in my blog about what Joel Barker calls paradigm shifts. And you know, in our lives, Bill, as we were growing up, as we were maturing and becoming, you know, older guys, you know, we saw a few paradigm shifts in our lives. But now paradigm shifts are happening all around us, especially with regard to technology, aren't they?
Absolutely. Just look at the technologies I covered in this Post article, space tourism. It's almost here. In two
Imagine
or three
that.
Years. Yeah. Richard Branson is going to send 10 or 20 tourists off in a flight, in a spaceship around it's going to be suborbital. But we forecast that an orbital flight will take place in less than 3 or 4 years.
Isn't it important? Isn't it important as we talk about these things to differentiate between what is technically possible right now and what is commercially feasible? I mean, most of the things you talk about today, you're going to talk about today, actually the technology, the capability, we could do it right now. It just may not be commercially feasible.
Yes, I think most of these simply require hard work to make them technically developed and overcome the marketing problems of introducing them. Space tourism is that's all present technology. It's going to be done, and all of these.
Would you like to orbit the Earth?
Oh, I'd love to. I think most people would love to do it, and they claim.
I would. I always wanted to be an astronaut.
Right, and the claim is that this is going to be as safe as airline travel.
It's
going to be as safe as airline travel.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so now, is this kind of thing, which way is the technology transfer going to come then in the future? Here's a good question for you. Is technology transfer going to come from the commercial aspect back to, you know, say our space program, or vice versa?
Well, that's what's interesting about space tourism. It suggests the possibility of the private sector taking the lead in space exploration mm-hmm. the way Americans did when the Wild West was tamed.
Right.
So the government simply made the ground rules for that possible, and then it was these hordes of Americans that went out there and tamed the West, and that's what could happen here. I can imagine the media attention when 10 or 12 people are interviewed, just ordinary people, you know, housewives and slobs like you and me, and they talk about traveling in space and seeing the Earth from space. It,
yeah.
It's going to just trigger this enormous enthusiasm for space. There are plans right now to build space hotels and to take
wow.
tourists to the moon.
Wow. How about that? In our lifetime, too, Bill, probably.
Right. Private yeah. entrepreneurs like,
yeah.
You know, your listeners
right.
are rushing into this field. Mm-hmm. They see it as a great frontier.
Well, and think of the byproducts of all that. Think of the useful here on Earth byproducts that will happen from all that.
That's right.
It's staggering.
It's very significant. It is the serious beginning of private space travel, as opposed to these big, cumbersome programs that the government undertakes at, you know, tens of billions of dollars. The private entrepreneurs think they could do this for a tenth of the cost.
Right, exactly, and they could. The question would be if they can keep the government out of it. Bill, let's talk about something a little more pedestrian. We already have automobiles that can park themselves, right?
Yes.
But what about what you call intelligent cars?
Well, that would simply carry that trend to its logical conclusion. DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Programs Agency, sponsored a competition for robotic-controlled vehicles,
mm-hmm.
The first one, five or six vehicles made the journey. It was 100-some miles across the desert. But now they've done it in urban settings, had the cars compete to travel through an urban network of roads, and they did it successfully.
Mm-hmm.
So the ability to drive a car automatically is almost here. The car makers are excited by it, and I think it's going to happen. Collision avoidance is here now.
Right.
My
automobile has a little beeper on the back that tells me when I'm 6 feet, 3 feet, and 18 inches away from something.
Right. So all this is being done, and it's going to be a difficult change, but I think it's coming.
Right. And so, folks, here's the message. Think about these kinds of things and ask yourself, am I in front of this catching the wave, or am I about to be run over by some of these things? You pick the paradigm shift that's happening in front of you, and ask yourself, where am I on that wave? Am I going to be run over, or am I going to be pushed ahead? 20 after, right back with our good friend William E. Hallal, author of Technology's Promise. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. If you'll go there, from there you can link to my blog, which is jimsblog.biz. You can find my knowledge base, which is askjim.biz. You can find the thousands of archives and thousands of articles that we've produced and have made available to you for free on our website. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. You can check out our Brain Trust members, like our good friend William Hallal. Bill is a good friend of mine and a good friend of yours, whether you know it or not, because he's working hard every day to come up with what he thinks is where we're going to, what we're going to have in the future, especially with regard to technology and how all of that is going to impact you and me and our business and in our lives. He put it down in the form of an outstanding book, Technology's Promise, which is one of my favorite books, and he's creating all this great information and posting it on the website, which is techcast.org. Did I say that right, Bill?
Yes, techcast.org.
Techcast.org. And not right now, Bill, and by the way, folks, get your Sunday Washington Post out, and it's in the Outlook section. You can see the outstanding full-page piece that Bill had published there called The Next Things, and this is what we're talking about right now. Bill, one of the things that, and these are things, folks, that the technology is already available. The technology is already maybe even elegantly developed by now, but just not quite ready to go to market, not quite ready to be diffused into the marketplace. Let's talk about about thought power. You talk in your piece here. You talk about electronic skull caps. Don't we already have these?
Yes, that's of course. These things are available. What's interesting is that this technology, the sensors are being used. It's capturing EEG waves, essentially.
Yep.
The same thing that when your physician gives you an EEG.
Mm-hmm.
And they capture the brain waves, and if you can decode the waves, that's the challenge, to figure out what this means. You can decipher the meaning, the intent of the person, and use this to control anything, control machines like computers, robots, wheelchairs. It's perfect for paraplegic people.
Right.
And you could even have a silent conversation with somebody on the other side of the world.
Wow.
A scientist has used a monkey in experiments fitted with a skull cap to capture the brain waves, and they've taught the monkey to control a robot on the other side of the world.
I heard it was a talk show host. I didn't know it was a monkey. but Bill, let me ask you, doesn't some of this stuff kind of scare you? I mean, you know, I've seen your gray hair. You've been around a while. You came up at an age when things weren't like this. Even with the work that you do and how you've devoted your life, doesn't some of this stuff kind of scare
you
a little bit?
Absolutely, because remember when PCs came in about 1980?
Yeah.
Who would have thought that we would be struggling with spam and hacking and viruses and phishing and all of that? I mean, nobody anticipated the enormous downside of information technology, and that's absolutely true. All of these things will have a downside, but the benefits are so much greater that we're going to learn how to live with the downside.
But aren't we getting to the point, Bill, where, you know, there was a time when we really were in the Wild Wild West, that there was a time when we could just let this stuff run and just be excited about what the next thing could be. But aren't we getting to the point now where all this capability is not just giving us more capability, but it is requiring more responsibility? Aren't we getting
Absolutely.
To the point where we have
Absolutely.
To decide, what are we going to actually do with all this power?
That's exactly the message of the economic recession, the financial meltdown.
Yeah.
We now understand, I think, that these big global systems, these global financial markets, have to be carefully designed and regulated and monitored. And that's true of all of these technologies. These are fragile, complicated systems, and humans have to bear the responsibility for keeping them working. That's exactly right.
Don't we have to, beyond regulation, beyond electronic checks and balances, though, don't we need to be having conversations among ourselves and sort of saying to each other, I pledge to behave in a certain way? I mean, don't we need to have these talks as human beings with each other?
Absolutely. I think we have to decide when a technology is really useful and when it is simply an indulgence. For instance, I have resisted using a cell phone. I find that I can get along just fine without a cell phone. I borrow my wife's maybe two or three times a year when there's a special need for it. But I have decided that the cost of making a selection among the hundreds of cell phones, learning how to use it, keeping it repaired and maintained, uploading all of this information to it is just not worth it for me. So I have eschewed a cell phone, and I think those are the kinds of choices we have to make. There, a lot of these things are luxuries that may not really serve a good purpose.
Right. Well, Bill, you have to do like I do. I've got a cell phone, but I only use about three of the things of the hundred that it will do. I only use about three of them.
I use the
phone
totally.
And the email and occasionally the camera, and that's it. But
but
here's the thing, Bill. I have pictures in my phone of that I've taken with the camera that I don't know how to get out.
No.
I felt really good about taking the pictures, but now I don't know what to do with what's in there, and nobody else can see them.
I think this stuff is going to get more intelligent, Jim, so that a lot of this confusion we have with information technology in our computers, for instance, will be done by the machines themselves.
Well, see, what I want is I want that skull cap thing that they're working on so I can tell my phone to deliver it to my printer. See, that's what I need, is I need to be able to tell the thing that. Hang on, Bill Halal is going to stay with us one more segment, folks. We've got a lot more to talk about. William Halal, the book is Technology's Promise. It's outstanding. 29 after. I'm Jim Lysinger. Stay with us.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always. Continuing to visit with our good friend William Halal. Bill Halal is my good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of Technology's Promise, available wherever books are sold. Bill, your website is techcast.org, right?
Right.
And they can find a lot of good information there, folks. I encourage you. He's brought together some of the best minds in the world there to contribute to his work. Bill, one of the things that I've been saying for a long time is that the future of America's dominance, if America wants to maintain its position as a leader in the world in the 21st century, that leadership is going to arise from alternative energy and nowhere else. What do you think?
Absolutely. We have a great opportunity to lead the world in solving this enormous problem of energy and the environment.
And there's nobody else in the world who could do it like we could, but we still haven't put our minds together on this, have we? We haven't convinced ourselves that this is what we should do.
Well, many people do feel that way. T. Boone Pickens, of course, and Obama has some kind of a plan. But I don't hear people talking about leading the world, which would require getting the nations of the world, major corporations together, and have them collaborate to share their knowledge to make this possible. In as Al Gore said, it could all be done in 10 years. In 10 years, we could have a sustainable economy, and this would be the best way possible to come out of the global recession. The environment is potentially a $10 trillion industry.
Right. Well, the reason why I think we've got a problem with this, Bill, is because we've got the enviro zealots who don't care about the economy. They just want to save the environment on the one hand, but they've got productive and useful thoughts that are just presented a little bit too religiously right now, I think.
Yes.
Then on the other hand, you've got the corporations who are perceived as not caring about the environment when they really are. But my point is, those two groups who could contribute so much to this debate are not talking to each other in a productive way.
That really leads to what I think is the major problem in modern society, and that is the level of consciousness, the visions, the values that people hold. And that is where all of the problems really emanate, the enormous diversity of ideological beliefs. And that's where leaders could play an enormous role by helping people make sense out of that, providing a vision, a workable vision for the future that everybody can subscribe to. That's what's so badly needed.
When did we get to the point where if you and I disagree, not only are you wrong, but I can't even associate with you because you're on the other side of that? When did we get to that point, Bill? How do we get back to the point where we used to be able to disagree but still associate, still be tolerant of other people's ideas,
sure,
and try to get the most from them? What are we going to do?
I think that's always been the case, though, hasn't it? I mean, think of the enormous...
But it seems worse now than ever before.
Well, we had things like the Inquisition, the Catholic Church, Hitler. I mean, that's been the story of history. The challenge now in a world of knowledge is to go beyond those ideologies and to introduce a world where people can use intelligence and reason and reconcile their differences. That is the great challenge, shaping consciousness. And that's a job for leaders. In fact, religious leaders. Religious leaders could play an enormous role.
I agree.
Getting agreement across these different ideologies, these religious ideologies, Islam versus Catholicism and Judaism, for instance.
Right. Hey, Bill, we've got about 1 minute left. Before you go, give us your idea. What do you think is the absolute next thing, the next big thing that will impact us in the most productive and benevolent way?
Artificial intelligence. That
you think
is
that's
the,
it?
That is the real breakthrough.
Robots.
That is going to provide, it's going to move us into the domain of consciousness. Artificial intelligence is right now automating routine human thought. Mm-hmm. The GPS navigation systems being a great example.
Right.
And as that happens, we're going to move to higher levels of thought, and that's, I think, going to solve this problem of these conflicting ideologies.
Yeah. So you think artificial intelligence, robots, including robots?
Including robots, right.
Yeah, will be right. The next thing that will actually be commercialized, so to speak, and that we'll start using it. Very interesting. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, I think that's going to change history.
I think you're right. Quick, actually, I got to wrap it up, Bill. Thank you for being
sure.
here. Good job today. It's always a pleasure. You're a great mind. You got some other stuff you're going to come back real soon and talk to us about, right?
Absolutely. Good
Thank
being
you.
With you.
You
so
too.
Long, Jim.
William Hallal, ladies and gentlemen. Technology's Promise. Don't miss the opportunity to read that book. 20 Tales, stay with me. I'll be right back with Terry Lanier.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.